everyone. Welcome to the return of the Chica Travel Podcast, your five-star guide to traveling better. My name is Lelo B and I'm super excited for you to hear this episode. This episode is proudly brought to you by Didi South Africa, a rideshare app giving South Africans the opportunity to move freely while unlocking their potential and that of the cities they live in. Your safety is Didi's number one priority, with features like an SOS button, a 24/7 emergency hotline, protected phone numbers, in-trip recording, an unmatched with the driver option, and so much more. For more info on the safety features available in the Didi app, go to za.didiglobal.com so you can use them anytime you need to. So, this week's episode of Chica Travel features a traveler, a friend, Neo Mukwene, who is an award-winning filmmaker, and we are talking about his recent vacation to Jordan, and he goes into quite a lot of detail about what they got up to. So, a tip from me, if you'd like to follow along what we are discussing, trust me, you want to do this, open your Instagram now and go to his profile and his story highlights. His name is @black_TonyStark, Tony Stark as in Iron Man. Yes, @black_TonyStark. You will be able to follow exactly what it is that he is talking about in this episode. I loved, love, love this conversation. I hope you enjoy it too. Here's the conversation with Neo.
Hello, Neo. Or should I say @black_TonyStark?
I'm fine with either one. Hey, Neo.
Hi, and welcome to Chica Travel. I've been wanting to have you on here for so long, and you just happen to be the first guest on my new season. So, yay, welcome.
Oh, we're talking travel. I thought it was my Ben 10 application that I guess we can talk about. But then it's fine.
Do you know how to submit a Ben 10 application to Lelo? You send me an email with flight tickets, a booking to whatever destination, and then on the way there, we start the discussion. So you can't just be on the podcast. You get it?
Okay. I hear you.
Okay.
Yeah. This is cash high season now. So.
We are born now. Okay. So now, thank you so much for joining this episode. I am super excited because we have all literally been dying just watching your stories in the past, like, week, 2 weeks. You went to Jordan, and I'm like, okay, who just thinks randomly of going to Jordan? Just tell me about this. Actually, before I even get there, before I even get to this recent trip, because you've been traveling throughout lockdown. Now we were locked down in South Africa, where now you're traveling. Just what is your relationship with travel? How do you get to travel so much?
So I am addicted to travel. I can't help it. Like, literally, whilst we're in lockdown, every day I was looking at what countries will allow people in from South Africa and all that kind of stuff. And I settled for the ones that have cool activities to do, like, you know, gorilla trekking and, like, meeting Niao dancers and all that kind of stuff. So, like, I really like exploring and learning new things, so that really motivates me to travel.
Wow. And how was that gorilla trekking in Rwanda experience?
It was insane. It was crazy. Like, even standing there with the gorillas, I still couldn't believe that I was there. Like, only like a week afterwards, I was with gorillas, literally recording gorillas in the wild. Like, it was insane. It was, yeah, I can't even, I have to go back again because you only get to spend 1 hour with him and it feels like a really long time. But then afterwards, you're like, you know what, you still want some more. So, yeah,
wow.
It was amazing.
And this is, I mean, that particularly was the kind of things that, you know, people have on their bucket list for years and years. So, yeah. But what do you do with all this content?
So most of it, no, not most of it. A small majority of it is for myself, and then most of it is usually for like brands or like tour companies or all that stuff to market their services and their packages and all that kind of stuff. So like this Jordan trip particularly was just a it was like a first date more than work, so I didn't really record much other than story, but
Wait.
But yeah, generally.
Did you say first date and you went to Jordan?
Yeah, this is how I do. Yeah, that's how I do first dates. So I'd done a first date like a couple of years ago with a French lady. We went to the Philippines and then I did it again now for Jordan.
Okay, my mouth is like wide open because we think this is the kind of stuff that we dream, treat about, like, oh, first date must be a trip when you live that life. So you, okay, I hope this is not a personal, too personal a question, but was it like, how did you guys meet if this was your first date?
Also, she's in Canada. So when I went to Canada to visit my dad, like, many years ago, I posted a pic from somewhere in Canada. Mm-hmm. And then she followed me and we followed each other and like we've just been talking back and forth for like the past 4 years. And then this year, funny enough, she threw a brick because I was on a holiday with an ex-girlfriend. And so basically she threw a brick whilst I'm on another vacation, a local vacation. Mm-hmm. And she was like, yeah, if the situation doesn't pan out, we should do a trip. And I was like, yeah, sure. And then, yeah, we started planning from like, what was it, like March maybe? Yeah.
This is the most amazing.
To be fair, I did have like one foot out of the relationship already, so it was easy. Cause I was like, you know, why not?
This is the most amazing thing I've heard on this podcast ever. It's like a mixture of love. You know me, I'm obsessed with relationships and love and now travel as well. Wow. Okay, so if this one doesn't turn out, your Ben 10 application is approved. I'm kidding. Okay. So how did you guys decide we're going to Jordan? How did you end up deciding on the destination?
So initially the chat was about her coming somewhere in Africa. She's been here before, but she wanted to maybe explore somewhere here. And I was like, I don't know about it. And then the first suggestion was actually Ghana, because I've got family in Ghana. And I was like, oh, that could be cool. I haven't been there in years. But then I started checking like activities and things to do, and it didn't seem too exciting. I was like, there's really nothing new I could see there other than probably like clubbing for like 6 days. Mm-hmm. So then I was on the internet and I don't remember what I saw. And I was like, you know what? They have to go to Jordan. And then she was like down. She was like, yeah, sure, let's do it. Wherever you wanted to go, cool, let's do it. So that was already like one point in her favor. So so she was down for Jordan. So yeah.
So what attracted you to Jordan? What exactly was it about, you know, what you saw that was like, okay, let me suggest this place?
So there's so many different like varieties of activities in Jordan. So one of the things I'd seen was Wadi Rum. It's where they shoot all these like alien movies and all that kind of stuff. And they have these bubble tents there. And I was like, what? That'd be so cool. Like playing on my nerd nature. Mm-hmm. So I was like, yeah, we have to go there. We have to go to Wadi Rum. So I even went online and I bought like the astronaut outfit. Like we have matching astronaut outfits and the helmet and everything. Yeah. Cause I was like, we've got to totally like go in on this theme of like space and all that stuff. So yeah, so that was a big one for me. And then all the other things came after, you know, like Petra and like Wadi Rum and all those, Wadi Mujib and all those. But the main one was going to Mars. That was the main attraction.
That was so awesome. Sure. Okay. But in terms of travel admin and all those COVID protocols, etc., what were those for you in going to Jordan?
Oh, it was actually very smooth. So I feel like they're very advanced with like their tourism industry. So when you buy your ticket, you get an option to buy a Jordan pass. So with the Jordan pass, you basically get entry to all the tourist attractions and all those things in Jordan on that pass. So you can enter for free. And if you stay for more than 4 days, then your Jordan pass counts as an entry visa, a tourist visa in the country. Oh, wow. So then you don't have to pay a visa fee on top of that. So that was amazing. And then on top of even in that same process, then they have a COVID protocol for us nations that they don't like. Other nations don't have to do this, but yeah, so then you apply for your So you have to apply for a PCR test that they'll perform on their side. Mm. And then you just put in like your accommodation details and whatever. Mm. And then, yeah, oh, you pay for it online as well. Then when you land, you give them the QR code. They do the test. And then within like 6 hours, they let you know if you negative or positive. And yeah, you're all set. It's a very, very smooth process. Quite impressive.
Where are you during that 6 hours? Were you waiting for the results to come out?
At the accommodation that I put in their system. They're not really fussy about where you're staying. They just want to know where it is. And like, when I went to Rwanda with that same process, they have a selection of hotels that they choose for you to go to do your quarantine. Mm-hmm. And they're quite strict with it. Like, you can't leave the hotel until the hotel has seen the email from the government and blah, 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 blah. Sure. But in Jordan, they're kind of like, yeah, just go wherever you want to. We'll let you know if you're positive or not.
So awesome. And then in terms of getting there, which airline did you fly and like how long? And yeah.
It was Qatar Airways. Eight hours to Qatar. And then, yeah, Doha, and then 2 hours to Amman.
Oh, Jordan. That's not bad.
It's not the easiest. I think it was, 12 hours maybe?
And then you're there,
Yeah.
This is so, so cool. Okay, I literally have never even, you know, considered it as a place to go to. So you landed in Amman, and how many days did you spend there? And is there anything to do interesting that you did in Amman before you went out to the Wadi, to the other places? Did you Wadi Rum?
So the initial plan was to spend 3 days in Amman. There's not a lot to do for tourists, but we wanted it to be our base. So we spent 3 days there. First day, we just went to check out like some restaurants. They have some really nice like areas, like Rainbow Street area. They've got like a lot of rooftop bars and all these kind of things. Mm-hmm. So that was really nice. And then on the second day, we did a tour of Amman. So we saw all like the ruins and all that kind of stuff. It's not a long tour. I think it took us like 6 or 7 hours and we're done with the day.
Yeah.
And then the third day we went just outside of Amman to Jerash. They also have like ruins and all that stuff there. Mm-hmm. So Amman is a good base if you want to just see like general Jordan, not like the deep Jordan. It's a very good base. And then the fourth day, that's when we headed to Wadi Rum. So I had researched before, like, the stuff that you can do there and all that stuff. So I decided we'd only stay there for 1 day because after a day, it's like, okay, now we're just sitting around, not doing anything. Wadi Rum.
That's where you were wearing your space suit.
Yes, that's Wadi Rum. So Wadi Rum's about 4 hours away from Jordan, or to reverse. So when I initially landed, I was standing at the desk to get a SIM card, and some random guy walks up to me and he's like, "Do you have a taxi?" I'm like, "No, I don't have a taxi." He's like, "Okay, come with me." I'm like, "No, but wait, how much are you going to charge me?" All these like, "No, don't worry about it, just come with me." So I was like, "No, it's fine, let me go with him." And then he negotiated a really great price to take us around all around Amman for the 3 days, take us to Wadi Rum, take us to the Dead Sea, and take us to Petra in one package. Because he says a lot of the taxi people there are scammers. So what they'll do is they'll take you to places or whatever, and then they don't say anything, and then in the end they'll give you like a 10,000 rand bill, and you're like, "How much?" You know, and but they'll be like, "But you came with me. We did all these things, so this is what you owe me." So yeah.
So is this the taxi driver that was fighting? Because you posted something about your driver being in a fight with someone.
So now the thing is, so my travel partner is probably like more impulsive than I am. So on one of the nights when we were in Amman, by the way, they don't serve alcohol in all the restaurants in Amman. There's very few that serve alcohol.
Oh.
So we had gone out, we had dinner and all that stuff. And then it was still early. We're like, you know what, we want to go to a place that has alcohol. So we found this guy at a place, and he was like, "Oh, I know a guy who can take you somewhere where there is alcohol."
Mm.
Now, I remembered that my driver said, "Do not go with anybody else but me." But my travel partner, she was like, "Nah, it'll be fine, let's go." I'm like, fine, let's go. So homie's like, "Okay, no, the place we're going to is only like around the corner. I'll only charge you like 2 JD. It's like 50 rand. So we're like, "What? Such a good deal. Sharp. Okay, let's go." So we're driving, and now it's been more than 10 minutes. And I'm like, "Oh, guy, what's going on? Where are we going?" He's like, no, it's close by. So I'm like, "Hey, no, you know what? We don't feel good about this. It's fine. You can drop us here." So I call our original driver, and I'm like, "Yo, can you pick us up from this other place? And he's like, wait, but how did you get there? And like, no, we went to this other guy. And he's like, what? But let me speak to the guy. And they speak and they're arguing there in the Arabic. I'm like, yo, this is not good. So he's like, fine. So he drops us off at this place, but he doesn't leave. His car stays parked there. And I'm like, but why is he staying here if he's dropping us? So I was like, nah, after a while, I was like, you know what, let's walk somewhere else and tell this guy to pick us up somewhere else because this looks dodgy. So we went down the road. Then our driver arrives, and now we're trying to get into the car as quickly as possible. Then, like, four guys come into the street and stand in front of his car. We're like, yo, this can't end well. So he gets up in the car, and they're arguing and fighting and back and forth and whatever. Eventually, they let him go. Because, like, you know how taxi violence is here in South Africa? How they argue, like, wanting to take the keys and all that. Yeah. And it's like, no. Because obviously now we've messed up their scam. Because obviously they're going to take us to the place, give us drinks, and then drop us a bill at the end. And we're like, how? That guy. Well, you know? Because they share commission with the clubs. So the taxi drivers and the clubs are, like, in cahoots. So they always bring clients to the clubs, and then they share in the profits of whatever the people drink and whatever. So it's happened to a lot of people. Yeah.
Yeah. So in terms of just this issue, because it's very serious, and I mean, when we are traveling, especially as, let's say I'm a girl and I'm traveling in a place like that, I wouldn't want to be, you know, to encounter such situations. So would you suggest I speak to my hotel about getting me a safe driver or taxi that's going to take me around?
Yeah. There's also services online, but it's like for tourists. So you can put in the places you want to go to on the website, and then it gives you a price and it tells you how long it will take. And you can also add in stops at different like tourist attractions or whatever. Then it gives you a total price and you can pay it upfront, and it's all there in the system, and it's a verified driver and all that. So you never have any of those issues like extra prices or some dodgy person or whatever, because it's all like regulated. Absolutely. So I would suggest if you are going to travel, I'll share the link with you later, but yeah, rather use that website.
Yeah, it's rather, you know, I mean, safety when traveling is important, and getting around, you know, that city, you got to make sure that you use a trusted transport service. Okay, that's awesome. So 3 days that you spent in Amman, which was amazing, and you guys, you know, had such, I mean, it was like you just literally got there, but already you're encountering taxi violence.
Yeah.
Okay, so after 3 days in Amman, did you go straight to Wadi Rum? Wadi Rum or Wadi Rum?
I don't know how. If you're paying for it, you can pronounce however you want to. So yeah.
Wadi Rum.
Yeah. So Wadi Rum, it was a 4-hour drive, like a really scenic drive, a beautiful drive. And you just get there, it's like these beautiful mountains. It literally feels like you're on a different planet. And then the hotel picks you up from like a certain point, and then they take you in like a 4x4 Jeep to the actual camp, because it's quite hard to get there in a normal car.
Yeah.
So if you do plan your trip there, either if you hire your own car, make sure it's a 4x4, or just the hotel will let you know that they'll pick you up for free and whatever.
Okay.
So we got there, and like they showed us around these bubble tents. Like it's such a great concept. Like it's insane.
So beautiful. I'm actually watching it on your stories now, on your Instagram stories. Yeah,
it's so beautiful. So yeah, they also have all inclusive packages, which I felt was very important, because that JOD to Rand conversion can start to get very heavy if you don't have inclusive packages. So they have the dinner, lunch, and breakfast included, and all that and whatever. And then you pay for activities separate. So in the Wadi Rum desert, you can do camel rides, you can do 4x4 sunset tours, you can do hot air balloon rides. You can also camp out in the desert with the Bedouin people and have like a real Bedouin experience. I was like, nah, I'm here for romance, it's amazing. Like for romance, it is amazing, because we had lunch or whatever, then we went out on the we had our own 4x4, so it was just her and I and the driver guy. We're sitting on the back, and they take you around to like all the little sites around the desert, like all the weird structures and all these cool things or whatever. And the driver like just taking those lovely here pictures of us and all that stuff and all these different places. And like, you're just sitting there, you're just watching the sun setting. It's like, no matter what you do, you just can't avoid the romance. It's just so beautiful. Like, it's unreal. Mm-hmm. As you're just looking around, it's just like, is this place even real? Like, it's just so beautiful. And then we get back to the hotel just before sunset. Oh, mm-hmm. Just after sunset. And then they have like a buffet in like this area. It's like if you look at it from above, it's actually like a heart-shaped dinner area. Mm-hmm. And they have all these LED lights around it in red. So everyone gets like their own little like cubicle or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they give you the shisha there, and then they bring you dinner, and it's just you two in the cubicle. And literally there's like a headrest. So you literally look up and you just see all these, stars, like, wow. Obviously because the stars are so clear there out in the desert. Like, it's so romantic. It's insane. Like,
so was this your perfect date? First date?
It literally was. I was just like, even when I, like, normally when I come back from these trips and whatever, I never get that post-vacation depression.
Yay.
But, like, literally, so she left before me. And as she left, I was just, my heart just, like, broke. I, like, just sank. I was just like, oh, my gosh, like, the perfect date just ended. Like,
I'm just watching your stories, and I didn't even know that you guys were, like, you know, having this getting together for, like, the first time, because you guys just seemed to just have, like, a vibe, and you were having so much fun. It was just beautiful to watch. Wow.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay, so Wadi Rum, and I'm going to post the link to you, because you stayed at this Bubble Lux Hotel. It's beautiful. I'll post the name there so people can go check it out as well. And then, so you only spent one night there?
Yeah, so we spent one night in Wadi Rum, and then we did a 3-hour drive to the Dead Sea.
Oh,
people really like the Dead Sea, but so we got there, whatever. So we decided, I booked a hotel that's right on the beach, so that it's easy for us to get to the Dead Sea. But then after further research, it actually turned out that the best place to enjoy the Dead Sea is not actually by the hotels. You need to go further out. So I had seen stories from another friend of mine that had traveled to Jordan before, and he had found this like crazy spot where it's like proper Dead Sea. Like, you see big salt blocks and like everything.
Wow,
and he was like, okay, I'm going to share the GPS location with you, but please don't share it with anyone else. You don't want people to know about this.
Mm.
And we're literally putting in coordinates there. It's not a tourist place, so it's actually quite hard to get to. So like, we like hiking down this like crazy place and whatever, eventually we get to the bottom just before sunset. And like, yeah, we got like some beautiful shots. I haven't shared those shots yet, but like some beautiful shots of like the sun setting and like all the salt blocks and all that stuff. It was quite cool. And then, but then now we have to rush back up to the top, because it's illegal for you to be out at the Dead Sea after sunset. So literally we could, as we're coming up, we could see police like patrolling the coast. They couldn't see us, but we're like, yo, we need to get out of here before it gets dark.
Yeah.
And luckily our driver had blocked off one of the routes. So the police couldn't, they didn't know that people were in there, because he was like parked at like a place where they thought he was just chilling.
Sure.
So he was like, yo, guys, you need to hurry up. Like, the police are around. We're like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah. So, but it was pretty cool. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. It looked beautiful. And I mean, when you were looking at these stories, and you were like, we haven't even gotten to the best part yet. So you, Dead Sea, did you just go one day?
So the Dead Sea initially was supposed to be 2 days. We're just going to see. Yeah, we're going to, so, because it was supposed to be, the initial plan was from Wadi Rum, we're going to go to Petra for a little bit and then go to the Dead Sea. So we would have arrived at Dead Sea at night. So we just booked that extra day. And then the second day would have been us checking out the Dead Sea. So we changed the plan because we were like, enjoying the trip so much, we were like, you know what, let's add another 4 days. So I was like, okay, cool, fine, let's add those days. Now we can change the plan. So now the plan was Wadi Rum to Dead Sea. So the first day we did the activity, then the second day in that same Dead Sea area, we went to Wadi Mujib, which is the lowest nature reserve in the world. It's insane. So it's like it's almost like the Grand Canyon, but with a waterfall running through it. It's just beautiful. So we trekked. So the second day we went to go trek. It's called the Shik Trail. And you literally just walk up this trail, and like, there's water coming down. So some parts you have to like swim. Other parts you have to like, it's like a proper hike, but with like water coming through.
And they give you life jackets in USA. You don't even, at first you didn't understand why they're even giving you life
jackets. Yeah, because the water was so low. I'm like, what do I need a life jacket? And then it got real. We're like, now we see.
It really is beautiful. But
it is gorgeous. It is gorgeous. Yeah. It's really beautiful. But it's not a really long hike. I think it was only an hour hike. So you don't need to be fit. No, for that hike, it's not. Like, think about the hikes that are out there and what you see in the end. Like, for that hike, an hour is not,
Sure, but it looked hectic for me. Like, there's some climbing and then you're, like, using a rope.
I think it looked worse than it was. It wasn't even that bad. A lot of people were saying, I'd never do this. And I'm like, this is really not this bad. It's not that bad. It just looks bad. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, no, it was like a proper adventure, I mean, looking at that. But I think, you know, getting to that waterfall was just like worth the trip.
Absolutely.
Okay. So this is Wadi Mujib. And then after Wadi Mujib?
So after Wadi Mujib, because we had extended the extra days, so we were at the Hilton and like, there's not much to do in a hotel, you know, because our initial plan was just two nights at the Hilton, then go somewhere else. So then, for the third night, we booked another place in the area. It's called the Mayan Hot Springs. Mm-hmm. So it's like this hotel that's built like right next to these hot springs and like a little waterfall. So we were like, oh, you know what? Let's just have a change of scenery. So that was pretty cool. So like they do massages by the waterfall and all this kind of stuff. It's a really beautiful place. It was also really nice. But yeah, other than like the massages and the waterfall, it's really just to relax. There's not really much activities to do.
Yeah.
So after that we headed to Petra.
Before we headed to Petra.
To
go to Petra, did you go from Wadi Mujib
or from Mayan Hot Spring?
Oh,
so Wadi Mujib is in the Dead Sea area, that's Mayan Hot Spring. They're all in the same before the hot springs we actually went to the baptism site of Christ. That's also in the Dead Sea area. Yes. So that was funny because none of us are like active Christians.
I was laughing at your stories because you're like that your guides initially didn't want you to go there and touch the water because you guys said you're not Christians.
Yeah. But I think his beef started earlier because he said so they have little shops there that sell like rosaries and all these like very Christian things. So in part of the tour you go past the shops first and then you go to the site. So obviously we got to the shop and we were like, we don't want to buy anything. You're not Christian like that. So he was kind of upset, like how these guys aren't even trying to spend money. So we're walking and he's like, wait, so you're not even Christian, not even Muslim. Like, he's like, okay, fine. I'll take you to the site, but you can't go in to touch it. We're like, okay, whatever. But eventually, because of my charm, he warmed up to us and then he was like, fine, we're here. You can go touch it. And he was like, really nice. He's like, yeah. So he let us touch the water and all that. It was actually a pretty cool experience. Yes.
So
I definitely feel holier.
You definitely started to catch it?
I definitely feel holier now for the experience.
guys, I'm not coping with this interview. Okay. So you said you had said that you could get like a Jordan pass, but your Jordan pass didn't cover this particular piece of your trip there, the baptism.
Yes.
So there's different types of passes.
Yeah, so there's three tiers to the passes. So we got like a basic pass, which covers like the general attractions. And then there's another level to the pass where you kind of get to customize some of the things you can see and do. So the one we got was, we just got the general one because we weren't really sure about all the extra things we're going to do. We just wanted to make sure we saw the main things.
Yeah.
So like the Wadi Mujib and the baptism site on the Jordan Pass, those ones, we had to pay separately for. But it wasn't too bad. Wadi Mujib was 20 JOD, so maybe like 500 Rand. And then the baptism site was probably about 200 Rand.
So guys, can I just tell you about this guy that I'm interviewing here? He says, he hasn't been to church in years, so he feels like touching that water covers him for the next 10 years. Basically, it's okay. So you said, so that was the Dead Sea area. From there, you guys went to Petra. Yeah. So about how long was the drive to Petra?
So, before we had decided to go to Petra on that specific day, there's Petra normal and there's Petra by night.
Oh.
Right. So, but it's only on specific days that they do the night one. So we needed, that's why we ended up, spending the extra day in the Dead Sea, because they only had pitcher by night on the Thursday. So we were like, okay, fine, we'll go on the Thursday, but we needed to book accommodation because pitcher by night finishes at like 10:30. So we needed a hotel in the area. So I'm sitting there on Airbnb checking, and Petra area, this cave comes up, like a cave experience. So I'm like, hey, Keisha, why don't we stay in a cave? And she's like, yeah, sure. And, you know, I like things. If there's no one there to kuza me, we're good to go. She was
that
also like,
cave looked dodgy, though.
It was so dodgy. But in the moment, we were like, yes. So I booked it and everything. The guy messaged me. He's like, yo, you just have to, I'll cook for you guys. Just send me money for the food, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, just know that there is no there's no running water here, no electricity, all these things. We're like, it's only one night, you know, it's an experience. It's fine. We'll try it out. Worst decision ever. But anyway, Petra is then 3 hours from the Dead Sea area. So we went there for the day Petra thing. When we got there, our driver, we were like, can we drop our bags at the accommodation first and then go to Petra? I was like, okay, cool. Now this place was like impossible to find, this random cave. So we were driving for like an hour or something. Eventually we find the cave, and then he's like, let me speak to the guy. And he calls the guy. Guy's not answering. We're like, hey, okay, fine, let's leave it. Let's go with our bags. As we're leaving, he calls back. He calls back like angry, like, hey, you know, like, how, who are you calling me at this time? I'm like, no, we were your guests. We're coming. We're coming here later. And he's like, okay, fine. Call me later. And I was like, woo, this is sounding dodgy. Like, this host is very, like, hostile. So it was already, and our driver was really like, I can't let you guys stay here. This place is not, it's not proper. So then we're like, okay, fine, you know what, let's leave it. And the Airbnb guy missed, when I told him, no, we canceled, he's like, how, but what about the food? And I'm like, how, brother, just take it off there, because he still gets his Airbnb fee anyway.
Exactly.
Like, just take it off the thing we paid.
Because like, we're not asking like, for a refund.
Exactly. Like, keep the money. It's like, you're not staying here. It's like, angry, whatever. So eventually we got to Petra. It was hot. So hot. Like, yo, I can't even explain. Like, the temperatures were ridiculous. Now, when you get there, your Jordan pass obviously gets you in. And then on your ticket, what a lot of tourists don't know is, on your ticket is included a golf cart drive to the entrance of the treasury or a horse ride, right? So, but a lot of the people there, the horse people and the golf cart guys, they charge you. So you'll get there, like, yo, they're like, oh, you want the ride? Yeah, sure. You're like, shut up. Okay, cool. Then you get to the end and then they want money. You're like, how? Brothers. But I thought it was free. Then they charge you for it. But then our driver told us, he was like, no, the thing is free. Do not let them hassle you. So like, oh, okay, shut up. So we got a horse ride and whatever. We rode on the horses, and the whole time everyone's just haggling, trying to sell us things. So eventually we get there, and then the guys, we get off, and like, sharp, thank you. We're like, how? And then the money, we're like, we know this thing is free. Exactly. Look on the back of the ticket, it is free. But they're like, So I was like, fine. We gave them a tip, and they were like, sharp. They were happy. And then they offered, so one of the guys offered us to take an alternate route to the treasury rather than going the straight route, walking through the tourist way. There's another route that they call the Indiana Jones route. It's where they shot the movie, Indiana Jones.
Wow.
So it's like a heavy, it's a crazy hike. We even saw goats on the way.
I saw it on your cousins.
Yes, my.
But now, yeah, how did you know to trust whoever was offering you to go on the alternate route?
No, he was. So he's one of the horsemen. So it was the guy that took us on the horse. So it's part of the place. So he took us on that route. And that route, actually, I think is better than taking the direct route, because then you get to see the treasury from the top. So we had like a cup of tea at like the top of the treasury. So you get this nice like view. I'm probably going to post those pictures today actually on Instagram. So you get this nice view. There's also a crazy thing. When I had initially posted that I was going to Jordan, there was this picture that another couple had taken with tea in front of the monastery. And I said, me and somebody's daughter Sue. And then we ended up taking that exact same picture. Like,
I'm looking at that picture. Well, if this is the one that you posted on your stories.
No, it's not that one. It's not
that one. Okay.
Later, yeah. But it's a similar, yeah, that kind of vibe. I was like, yeah, wow. Like,
you're manifesting.
Proper.
Did you have your wax candles on when you were doing that? I'm kidding. Okay. Wow.
So at that top view, when you get to the top view, because a lot of tourists used to come there, now they charge you. So you either pay one JD to take pictures from the view, or you buy a cup of tea from the Bedouin guys that are selling there or whatever. So we bought a couple of cups of tea and we were just there taking our pictures. It was very full, but we were actually lucky that no other tourists came up there whilst we were there. Wow. Only towards the end people came, but we're like, ah, we're done anyway. And then, yeah, so then we trekked down. Yeah.
Sorry, I was just on the topic of tourists. How full or packed was it tourist-wise?
Very, very packed. Like, okay. Yeah, they say it gets worse than that, but obviously because of COVID, but there were a lot. So I can't imagine during peak times, I can't imagine how anyone could even get any photos there. Like, if you're not there at, like, 6 a.m., yeah, forget it. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So you took your Indiana Jones route, and what was waiting for you at the end?
So the end of the Indiana Jones route was that view of the treasury from the top. And then, we trekked down to the normal place there, whatever. And then that's where I took that shot with the camel. So you pay like 5 JD to get a picture with the camel in front of the treasury. It was really full, but luckily the angle I got only had like 5 or 6 tourists. Like, we got decent shots there.
Yeah.
And then from the treasury, then there's the monastery, which is now like the hike. So they're like, you can either rent a camel or rent a donkey, or you can walk. And they're like, it's a 1.5 hour walk. And we're like, yo, in this weather. Yeah, we're like, nah, we're not doing this. So we rented, because we were like, okay, we'll rent donkey for there, and then we'll walk back, because at least we'll see the route, and then we'll decide, you know, if it's we can come back. Yeah. So we did that. We did the donkeys, and it was so scary, because these donkeys are literally going up flights of stairs and like off cliffs and like through shops. It was really scary, but I was relieved we did that, because that walk was painful in that heat. It is. Yeah, if you go there, please, camel and donkey, do not walk. It'll take you forever. Like, we're just watching people there on the route dying because it's so bad. So, yeah.
There's a photo that you took. I think it's when you guys go to the monastery.
Through the cave.
Yeah, through the cave. And you were saying this is just one of many dope photo spots. Like, is it like beautiful over there?
To be honest, uh-huh. I wouldn't do the monastery, considering the distance it is to get there and how similar it looks to the other structures, like in that same Petra area. Because there are other pictures I got there. They're pretty cool pictures, but when you consider the efforts to get there. I wouldn't.
What's the story behind the monastery?
So the monastery, I think it was meant to be like their parliament building or something. So the treasury is where they kept the money and all that. And then the monastery was like, supposedly parliament. So it's also a pretty cool place, pretty cool location, but the efforts, Cause now we saw the distance and we're like, it's fine. We thought we saw the distance cause we want donkeys. So we're like, nah, it's fine. We'll walk back. Yo.
There had to be those moments, right? Cause no trip is ever perfect from start to finish. There has to be those moments that like, nah, this I wouldn't do again.
Exactly. So in the same day that we walked all the way back. So it was maybe a 2 hour walk back to the entrance. Now we're sweating and all this stuff. And we were like, it's actually a good idea. We weren't staying at this cave because, it's going to be a problem.
But now,
so we hung around. Yeah.
Sorry, Nell. But now, what happens if you need to pee?
Where?
If you're like working on this long thing and you need to pee.
It's such a huge trail. There's so many corners and you'll be fine. You'll be fine. There's enough.
I just had to be practical and throw that in there. These things happen. So you survived your almost two hour walk back.
Yeah, we survived it. Then we hung around in that little Petra town area for a little bit, went to a couple of rooftop bars because Petra by night starts at like 8:30. So then we headed back to Petra by night. The Petra by night's also not covered by the Jordan Pass that we had.
Okay.
There's a different Jordan Pass. So we paid like 17 JD, maybe like 400 Rand. And then you go in a group, and that same route that you did before, that was all candlelit. So there's all these candles all around, like, the mountains and everything.
That looked beautiful.
And it was actually, yeah, exactly. The thought you had worked, because then we had, like, a romantic moment, like, holding hands, walking down. Like, oh, my gosh, this place, I'm super tired, but this is amazing. We just walked the way down. And then you get to the place, and then everyone sits in, like, rows, and then they put on, like, a little show. Like, they play some, like, traditional music, and then they, like, project some lights on the treasury and tell you, like, some stories. Oh, and they give you, everyone gets a cup of tea to sit there and, like, they'll enjoy the show. And then after, was it an hour, maybe hour and a half, then yeah, the show's over, and then you head back.
What type of show is it that you're watching?
So if I had gone there alone, I would have been disappointed, because it's the same picture you see during the day. Now there's candles, and then now they're basically just projecting lights on the building, and then they're playing, like, traditional music. So it's more like, yeah, you're, like, just in the moment, you know, like, just taking it all in kind of thing. There's not really an activity.
Okay.
But if, because I was with someone, obviously, you know, it's, yeah, it was better.
With someone's daughter.
Yes.
Yo, man, this sounds like it was really awesome. So now, in terms of language, they speak English just fine, and the food?
Yeah, generally everyone speaks English quite well, but if they don't, there's always someone around who can translate, so it was never really a big issue. The food is amazing, like the lamb they make there, the lamb and the hummus. It's delicious. They bake it so well. Like, yeah, I couldn't fault the food. It was really great. And every restaurant has shisha there. There's even one restaurant where you can take the shisha home with you. Like, we're smoking, and then they wanted to leave, and I was like, oh damn, I'm still smoking. They're like, ah, don't worry, we'll pack it for you. You can take it with you. I was like, excuse me?
Did you have to return it?
No, it's mine. It's mine. I still have it. Like, I was like, wow, like, this hospitality is amazing. It's amazing.
And
even with the taxi driver. Yeah, very friendly. Even with the taxi driver, when I first arrived, he got me. So they do these, like, takeaway coffees, because coffee is so popular there. Like, every little stall, they bring coffee to your car. Like, you should just park on the side of the road, you say, hey. And they brought that. He was like, yeah, yeah. He brought me coffee, everything. He was like, do you want lunch? Like, very, very hospitable people.
Wow. That is so, so cool, man. So you were also talking about, because I saw you had to put scarves on and stuff. Was it just then insisting that you do, or you had to have them on?
No. We didn't have to have them. No. So they're very strategic with their tourist attractions. So when we entered in Jerash, where the ruins are, at the entrance, like, there's all these stalls in the beginning, and they have all these things they can sell before you actually get to the ruins. So there was this one stall, and the guy was like, hey, no, don't worry, you don't have to buy anything, just come see. And, you know, good salesmen, they force the product on you. So he's like, no, don't, you don't have to buy it, I'll just put it on you. I'm like, okay, shut up. Puts it on me, and then he's clever, because then he asked the woman, he asked her, how does he look? She's like, he looks good. And I'm like, ish, now I have to buy it.
Now you must buy.
She says I look good, yeah. And then he also forced it on her. She also got one. But then as you're walking through, all of them are selling the same thing. So each of them look at our headbands like, no, this thing's not tied properly. Let me tie it for you properly. So now we're going through, like, four or five different people trying to sell us more things, changing our headbands the whole time. It's like, you know, so tiring. But yeah. So that it's not you don't have to wear it, but it's a nice touch for, like, the photos, you know?
Definitely. I think I'm glad you got it, because it looked really nice on that picture of you with the tea, wearing your head.
Oh, yeah.
Really nice.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay. So for someone who's thinking of visiting, having seen your stories and so on, what would you say that the type of person that would enjoy visiting Jordan is? The kind of person who likes,
You have to be a little adventurous, because the really nice things to see and do will need a little bit of, like, effort, you know. Like,
but it's not for me, ne?
You know, you could enjoy, like, Wadi Rum and the Dead Sea, because it's very, like tame activities. Like, you don't have to, like, hike anywhere. Oh, you'd also enjoy Amman, because they also have a lot of, like, little, like, lounges and, like, you know, little nice chill areas and whatever. But for general Jordan, not you, Lila.
Okay. Yeah. So definitely someone who loves adventure will enjoy this.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. And culture. Like they're very, like everything's very cultural. Yeah. Like they teach you about their culture in every moment. Like everything that happens, they'll explain like, oh, this is why that guy does this and why he acts like this. And mm-hmm. here we do things like this. And, you know, yeah.
Sure. Okay, well, I don't know, man. This is, it really does sound amazing, even if I don't get to do those adventurous things, but I kind of feel like this is one of those places that I do want to definitely go and check definitely. Out. And if I do go, just know, like, you totally influenced me. This is just, yeah. Awesome.
Yes, they must run me my commission check there at Jordan Tourism.
Listen, they have to, because I'm definitely calling you also to ask for your driver's details, because I want that guy on my side yeah. if I go there.
They also, yeah, even the driver's also very trusting. So the guy, so he didn't want money up front. He was like, don't worry, this is the price. We'll do all these things and you'll literally pay me at the airport when you're leaving.
That is amazing.
Yeah, and I was like, really? I was like, okay. So every time we needed him, we literally call him like, yo, can you take us to this restaurant? He's like, whatever time you need anything, I've got you. Like, just call me.
So you wow. also believe yeah. in getting a SIM card as soon as you get into a different location so you can call him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And because for data and stuff. Because, you know, you got to be on the gram. So, yeah.
I mean. So, I also actually wanted to ask you, this place that you went, let me just see which one it is again. At, where is the Bubble Hotel? Where is it again?
Oh, Wadi Rum.
Wadi Rum. Do they have, like, Wi-Fi there? Because it's like a desert vibe.
Yeah.
Oh, they do have Wi-Fi
in the hotel. They all, yeah. Fully. So, there's actually a lot of those bubble hotels in that Wadi Rum area, but the government has limited how many they can be and how far they can be from each other. So there's actually quite a few options. They all look very similar, but there are a couple of options. That isn't the only one you could go to.
Okay. And then you said it was all inclusive, this Wadi Rum hotel. So because I'm looking at it now and it's like these little bubbles. So they do have like a restaurant setup area where you guys
yes.
go in. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Please, can you post more photos and videos, like, because like you are depressing us.
Come. I have campaigns in between. I have to fit in. Don't worry.
Influencers, Mari. Okay. I need to ask you a question, which a lot of my listeners always want to know. They want to know if I'm going to Jordan and spending a week, you spend 2 weeks, so you are out of the norm. I'm spending a week, and there's, how much can I expect to spend, excluding flights?
So initial budget for 6 days was 25,000 maybe? Yeah, about 25,000, excluding flights, and then after the extension, maybe it got closer to like 40.
Is it 25 for one person or two people per person?
Two people.
That is not bad.
Yeah. It's not the worst. Yeah. Like, cause we did a lot more than people generally would.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Wait. No. It's actually closer to 40. I forgot about the taxi guy. But say if without the transport, then yeah, probably about 25 for like accommodation and all that kind of stuff. Mm. Yeah.
But was the transport that expensive?
Well, we're literally driving like from, it's like driving, we're driving 4 hours between each location. So, yeah. And obviously the driver can't now drop us 4 hours and then drive back and then come back in the morning again, you know, to take us out there. So I think he included that in his price, like the,
booking him in and stuff like that. Okay. This sounds awesome. So I don't know. Is there anything that I haven't asked you that you feel like people need to know if they want to plan a trip to Jordan?
Do it with a bae.
Okay. Do it with a bae. Do it as a first date to impress your person, and indeed you will not have any regrets.
Yeah, definitely. The other thing is with your accommodation bookings, you should only do 5-star, because I think their standards are quite different from ours. Because there was one hotel we stayed in the end where they were like, oh no, this place is amazing, 4-star, blah blah blah. We're like, okay, cool. And we went there and it was like not the greatest hotel, but it was the last day. Or just like, ah, it's fine, whatever. So yeah, make sure it is like 5-star. I'd even go as far as to say, try go with like the franchises. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, like the Hiltons and all that, because then you guaranteed, yeah, proper facilities and things like that.
Wow. This has been awesome. So thank you so much. I really enjoyed hearing about your trip. I'm going to be telling people to go and have a look at your highlights and come to you for tips in terms of, you know, how to plan a proper first date. I think you should be the main speaker at the men's conference.
One day you must call me back for the Philippines one, because that was also a first date. Yeah.
And I haven't had a discussion about the Philippines, so definitely let's sort that out. But thank you so much, Neo. I really appreciate you making the time, eh?
Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome.
This episode of Chica Travel Podcast was brought to you by Didi South Africa, a rideshare app giving South Africans the opportunity to move freely while unlocking their potential and that of the cities they live in. Your safety is Didi's number one priority, with features like an SOS button, a 24/7 emergency hotline, protected phone numbers, in-trip recording, an unmatched with the driver option, and so much more. Download the Didi app today on the Apple App Store or Google Play. Added bonus, if you use my promo Miss Lelo Didi, you get 60 rand off if you are a new rider, otherwise 10% off if you have taken a Didi trip before. Didi, your new ride has arrived.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. We will catch up again next week. But in the meantime, if you listen on Apple, please leave a review and comment. It helps other people find the podcast as well if you do that. So I appreciate that very much. And also, you can find us on social media @ChicaTravelPod, #ChicaTravelPod. Until next week, goodbye.